Morning. It's great to be with you again in sunny Blackburn. It's an appropriate reading for a day like this, isn't it? All about storms. Let me pray for us and then we'll turn to our reading. Father, we thank you for your word and we pray that as Jesus tells us in these verses here, we might be those who not only hear your the word of the Lord Jesus, but put it into practice. And we pray you'd help us to do just that this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you'd like to keep that passage open there in Luke on page 1035, and we're looking at what we just had read. The first part of it, the end of chapter 6, Jesus is coming to an end, it says there, of a section of teaching. So chapter 7, verse 1, when he'd finished saying all this, he's been saying, giving what was sometimes called a sermon on the plain level, speaking to his disciples with various things about what it means to live life following Jesus. And he summarizes it by saying, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And then he sort of differentiates two groups of people, those who hear his word but fail to act on them or put them into practice, and those who hear his word and do put them into practice. In other words, Jesus is challenging them and us as we read it, by saying, you know, it's not enough just to hear my words. All of us here this morning have heard his words. They've been read to us. Jesus says, but the really important thing is what you do with that, how you respond to that. And he helps explain the difference by giving us an illustration of two examples. He says, those who hear my words and act on, it's like somebody who builds a house and digs deep and has a strong foundation on the rock, so that when the floods and the storm come and strike the house, it stands firm through the storm because it's built on strong foundation. And he says, but on the other hand, there's somebody who hears his words but don't act on them, don't put them into practice. That's like somebody who builds his house on a ground but with no foundation. And then once the storms and the floods come, the house collapses and is destroyed because it has no foundation, can't stand firm. Well, that illustration is very clear, but three things I want to kind of pick out for us. Firstly, the enormity of Jesus' claim. Okay, the enormity of Jesus' claim. Secondly, when do you notice the difference? Thirdly, why should we trust the word of Jesus? Okay, the enormity of his claim. When do you notice the difference? Thirdly, why should we trust the word of Jesus? Well, firstly, the enormity of his claim. Do you see that? What is Jesus claiming exactly? From the illustration, it's very clear. He's saying, I'm not giving you some words here that you might sort of think about and kind of put them into your general way of thinking about life, and occasionally you might refer to them, find them a bit of helpful every now and again to refer back to them. He says, no, take my words and make them the very foundation of your whole life, that you as it were base your whole life upon my teaching. Everything. The decisions you make, the values you have, the choices you make, the way you run your life, the way you relate to people, the way you respond to God, the way you think about the future, the way you you make your decisions, your values, everything, he says, is to be based upon me and my words. That's quite a strong thing to say, isn't it? He says, in fact, that's really what it means to call me Lord. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? You see, Jesus is only our Lord if we do what he says. See, it's easy to have Jesus as Lord if we agree with him, because then we can't really tell actually whether he's Lord or I'm Lord. If me and my wife decide, well, you've got a free evening, what should we do? And we both say, let's go to the pictures. Well, we're both happy to go to the pictures. Hard to tell who's kind of given in to who. But if my wife says to me, I want to go to the pictures, and I say, well, I want to stay at home and watch football on the telly. Well, now, which decision we make shows us whose opinion, if you like, is the most, in that situation, we're paying most attention to. Okay, so obviously we go to the pictures, right? But but now with Jesus, what happens when Jesus says, Lord, 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 is when Jesus says, now I want you to do this, and I'm thinking, well, I don't want to do that. Or here's what I'm telling you is right, and I'm thinking, well, I don't think that is right. That's when the crux comes, because at that point, if Jesus is Lord, I say, well, I may not like it, but you're my Lord, so I'll do what you say. I'll trust you. Or if I say, no, I don't want to do it, and go off this way, I'm still my Lord, aren't I? You see? And that's what he's trying to tease out here. It's very simple. It's very challenging. But it's for us really as people in church this morning, because it's asking us, is Jesus really my Lord? I mean, we're all hearing his word. Is it kind of one of the things that influences my life? Or if I put my whole life, everything I am, and staking everything and living my life built upon Jesus and his words? That's the enormity of what he's claiming for us here in these verses. And of course, his words are not just what he's been teaching in this chapter. If you've got your Bibles open, just turn back a page to page 1032. The end of chapter 4, Luke says, you see that verse 42 on page 1032, it says, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. People were looking for him. When they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving. But he said, here's what he says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Now, good news there is the word gospel. It's the same word. I can't stay here. I've got to go to all these other towns. Why? Because I've been sent to do what? To preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. That's my message. That's why I've come, to tell the world this message of good news, so that people can enter the kingdom of God. How? By believing my message of good news. And we're going to be able to do that because the message of good news is what's going to lead Jesus to come and die on the cross and rise again, so that you and I, who are separated from God because of things in our life that aren't right, Jesus dies so they can be forgiven. So though we're not worthy, there's the storm. Okay, so though we're not worthy, through Jesus dying on the cross for us and us believing in him and putting our trust in him and his word, we can enter his kingdom now and for all eternity. And in the verses we've just been reading in chapter 6, he's telling people what it's like then to live once you enter his kingdom and call him your Lord. Okay? But then secondly, when do you notice the difference? What do I mean by that? Well, you see Jesus' illustration. See, for a while, you might walk past two houses that look very similar. It's got walls, windows, doors, got a roof, got a garden, got a garage. And you look at them and you can't see any difference between the two. They look identical. And the people living in those houses might both be quite happily living their lives. But how do you tell the difference between the two? You tell the difference when the storms come. That's what Jesus is saying. Because when it's good weather, it doesn't matter about your foundations. You can't tell the difference. It all looks the same. But when the storms of life come and begin to batter against the houses, what happens is the one that's got the strong foundation built upon Jesus, the rock and his word, that stands firm. But the ones that have got no foundation upon his word, when the storms come, they collapse. It's not difficult to understand what Jesus is saying here, isn't it? He's saying, look, when all is well and all is good, it doesn't really matter what your foundations are, what you built your life upon, what are your values or your beliefs. What makes the difference, really reveals the difference, is when the storms and trials of life come. And here's the thing, live in this world long enough and they'll come. I'm sure some of us here this morning feel like we've been through a week where there's been storms of different kinds. Maybe we've got things we're worrying about in our family life, maybe things at work, maybe our finances, maybe our health, maybe concern about people that we love. We all know what it is to have these storms. And of course, the biggest storm of all is what happens when we come, as it were, to the end of this life and we face entrance into eternity. just to kind of push this analogy, this image a little bit further, there are many, many things, good gifts of God that we have in our lives that we enjoy. There are, as it were, if this house that Jesus is talking about is a picture of our lives, there's lots of different rooms in a house with lots of different things in it. And they're good things. Marriage, family life, our hobbies, sports, work, things that we enjoy spending our time doing. They're all good God-given things. But they were never intended to be the foundation for our lives. So that's what Jesus is saying. When I take any of those good gifts but try and make them the foundation for my life, I'm actually putting too much weight on them. Weight they were never meant to bear. God wants me to love my kids, but he says, but don't make them your God. Don't make them the foundation upon which your whole life is founded. That's unfair on your children, and then it's not strong enough to withhold the storms of life, or your marriage, or your career, or all the other things that you think will make your life fulfilled or complete. Because live long enough in this world and the storm will come. And anything, Jesus is saying, or everything else that we make our foundation apart from Jesus and his word is ultimately fragile and temporary. Even the good things. For all of us here this morning, the greatest storm of all still lies ahead, doesn't it? When finally we come to breathe our last and leave this present world and enter into eternity, that will reveal more than ever whether we built our lives on a rock-like foundation that's strong enough to withstand that fiercest storm of all or not. Think of a friend of mine who died of cancer a few years ago, and he was a Christian. And when he was diagnosed with cancer, he was a doctor as well, so he kind of knew all that was going to be happening to him, and so understood the whole thing. But as he was in the last few months of his life, though he was in pain and obviously sad to be leaving his wife and family and so on, he had a rock-like sense of peace and hope because he knew this world wasn't all that there is. And he knew that because Jesus had lived and died and he believed and trusted in Jesus, he was his rock, that when the end came, he knew it wouldn't be the end, but actually he would be from suffering and go to be with Jesus forever. And so through the last few months of his life, what was very noticeable was lots of friends and neighbours came to visit. And they kept saying, can't get over how you are approaching and dealing with death. Why? Because they could see the foundation he'd built his life upon. Now the storm was beginning to batter against him. He was standing firm. Why? Because he had on a foundation that was strong enough to cope. He wasn't exposed by the storm as being weak. It was revealed by the storms to be sure and certain. And people who weren't Christians were looking at him and noticing the difference, the very real difference. And Jesus invites us, calls us to build our whole lives upon him by believing and trusting in him and promising us that as you do, I will walk with you through this life and I'll be most closely with you. When you walk through the storms, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. And he will walk with us even through death into eternal life. But that raises our third question. Well, can we really believe him? And dare we? And how can we trust the words of Jesus? Why should we trust the words of Jesus? Maybe we can see other foundations are vulnerable and can crumble and might not endure in the midst of the storms of life. But how are we to know that Jesus' words are a greater foundation? Well, as though to help us, Luke then records for us this extraordinary incident in chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. He enters Capernaum, and as we've been hearing in our children's talk, the Roman centurion has a servant who is seriously ill. So seriously ill, he's about to die. As a man really facing the storms of life. Can Jesus' words really be strong enough even to hold in the face of death? The centurion has heard of Jesus and he sends some Jews to Jesus to ask him to come and heal his servants. And the Jews seek to persuade Jesus to come. He's saying, look, he's not a Jew, he's a Roman, but he's been very good to us. He's worthy of you coming to help. He deserves to have you do this in verse 4. And so Jesus goes with them. But as he draws near to the house, the centurion sends friends to Jesus again. And he says to them, you see there in verse 6, Lord, don't trouble yourself. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. It's very interesting, isn't it? The other Jews have said, this guy's a good guy. You should go and do what he deserves it. But the man himself says, I don't deserve it. Now, if he doesn't deserve it, why is he asking Jesus to come? Don't miss this. Because he knows, do you see, that Jesus is kind and merciful. Why will Jesus come? Does Jesus only come to people who deserve it? No. Thank goodness. I didn't deserve it. Lots of stuff in my life, not good. Why does Jesus come to us? Because he's full of mercy. Full of mercy for us. If you're sat here this morning, well, would he come to me? The stuff in my life, I don't know. I know what I'm really like. I'm not worthy. That's never the problem. Never the problem. Jesus has never, never turned down anyone who comes to him because they're not worthy. He only comes to people who aren't worthy. Why does he come? Because he's full of mercy and he loves us. And so the man says, look, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve you to come, but I know you're full of mercy. But then this thing, this is extraordinary. But say the word and my servant will be healed. Wow. Say the word. Here's my servant. He's about to die. Don't take him to hospital. Don't rush him to A&E. Don't bring some equipment to perform a life-saving operation. You don't even need to turn up and touch him or be here. Just say the word. And I know your word is so powerful, this man facing death will be saved. And the centurion says, you see, I know how this works. I'm a man under authority. I give orders and people respond to them. I receive orders and I obey them. I recognize authority. And he says, in you, Lord Jesus, I recognize true authority. In fact, the most authoritative person I've ever met, who by a mere word can turn a man's life around. And Jesus is amazed. And he says, you know, I've never seen such faith in the whole of Israel. And why is this a demonstration of amazing faith? Well, because the man puts his entire trust upon Jesus and upon his power and upon his word. He's doing what Jesus has said we should do at the end of chapter 6. He's putting his life, the life of his servant upon the foundation of Jesus and his word, and he knows that's all that he needs to do. You don't even need to turn up. Just say the word. That's enough. And Luke says, and when they came home, the servant was well. What is Luke teaching us, showing us? He understands us. He's saying, do you wonder if you really can, if you really dare trust the word of Jesus, that you can really dare to put your whole life, everything you care about, everything you think, all your plans, your hopes, all the people you love, everything about the way you view life, and put it all upon Jesus and his word? Can you trust him? Does he really have power and authority? Is he really full of mercy? How powerful, how strong, how effective is this word of Jesus? Is his word strong enough even to overcome death? Well, look at this man. He trusted the word of Jesus, and he was proved right. You see, the gospel message is calling us to believe the word of Jesus. But right now, we can't see him, can we? Can't see Jesus. We can't hear him. We hear his word being read, but we're not hearing Jesus say these words. He's not physically present. We can't touch him. But we have his word. And this passage is telling us, like the centurion, that's all you need. Jesus physically didn't turn up at this man's house, but he changed his life. Well, Jesus physically is not here, but he is here by his Spirit and by his word speaking to you and me this morning. And he's inviting us to do just the same thing as this man did, to dare to put, to trust him, to put our whole lives upon him and his word as our foundation. He's calling us to live our lives trusting upon his life-giving, powerful and utterly trustworthy word, his gospel. Because he is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. He has power over sickness. He has power over death. He has power over sin. He has power to bring those who trust in him into his kingdom now, to live with us through this world. And one day as we face the greatest storm of all, to hold our hand and walk with us through death, to be with him in eternal life, freed from suffering and sorrow and sin. Can we trust the word of Jesus? The centurion would say to us, you bet you can. Absolutely you can. So how about us this morning? Are we going to be those who hear his word and put into practice, or just hear his word? Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came full of compassion, mercy to people like us, and full of power and authority to forgive us our sin, to give us strength and peace in our worry and our anxiety, to walk with us through the storms of this life, and through your death and resurrection, to bring us through death into eternal life, and into your eternal kingdom forever. We pray by your grace, we this morning might be those who not only hear your word, but respond and put it into practice by making it the foundation for our lives. Amen.